From across the Volunteer State, the countdown to kickoff with your exclusive scouting report. Welcome to the Coach's Meeting. Coach to Coach.
One thing that has happened consistently in the Josh Heupel era, the Vols have come out with intensity, no matter who the opponent was. Before many were even seated, the Vols ran past Chattanooga Saturday. Doug Matthews, what impressed you most about Tennessee's performance?
Well, going into the ball game, you knew the opponent was probably not going to be up to the standard that really going to give you a whole lot of trouble. That worked out. But that's not what you look at as a coach. What you look at is, let's look at my team. Let's look at our team. Let's look at what we're doing. And the thing that impressed me on this performance was, and Coach Heupel likes to use the word clean, meaning, you know, it was a clean ball game. Well, it was. It was fast-paced. I think they got exactly what they wanted out of it from a performance standpoint of getting a lot of players playing. But looking at it, very few penalties, especially until some of the younger guys got in there. They had only one turnover. I thought they played very, very well. And they really got a look at some of those newer players, especially the transfer portal players and a couple. This was a veteran offense in particular coming in, but just for a couple of spots. They got real good looks at the transfer portal tight ends. They got a good look at that left guard position and then a couple of the wide receivers. So it was a good first performance, and we'll see how that takes Tennessee the rest of the way, particularly this week.
Rhythm and consistency were there. The continuity on offense, I was very, very impressed with. It looks like they've even picked it up a beat. I mean, it was smooth. It was a smooth operation. Defensively, I know they played a lot of people, but I thought whoever is in there first, I always look at as a coach the first ball game. How well are they tackling? How well are they tackling? Because you're not going to tackle live in practice. You're just not. And defensively, they tackled well. I thought they handled their motion and the movement that they were given pretty smoothly. I thought it was a smooth operation in all three facets of the game.
A stronger opponent awaits in Charlotte this week as the Vols battle NC State. Dave Doran's team has been a consistent winner, but Dave, they really haven't been able to break through in that upper echelon of the ACC.
Dave Doran's been the head coach there since 2013. He's 82-58. His best years, 2017, 2018, 9-4, 9-4. And we talk about breaking through. You're talking about double-digit wins. He has never gotten to that point yet, which usually, you know, pushes you over the top. But he's been very consistent there. I think they've been a very consistent program, and it goes with the fact that 82-58 at that length in a Power 5 school, that's pretty good consistency.
Week one produced some impressive victories for Southern Cal and Notre Dame over SEC opponents. Dave, did you learn more about the Aggies or about the Fighting Irish?
The Aggies were very disappointing, especially their quarterback play. If that quarterback play does not get any better, they're not going to be in the mix in the SEC. Wegman has to improve. His overall game, that's what I learned. That was an issue. That was a big, big problem. Notre Dame was efficient offensively. A&M was not. That's what I learned.
Doug, did you learn more about LSU or Southern Cal?
I think we learned a good bit about both, but the impressive thing to me was Southern Cal, and it was on the defensive side of the ball. Listen, we know Lincoln Riley's going to have an offense, going to score points. When he was at Oklahoma, what was his downfall there when they didn't play well? Well, it was defense. And this was a Southern Cal team. Number one, we knew they had athletes. This was a physical, physical team. And impressively for a team, Southern Cal outscored LSU 14-3 in the fourth quarter and won by 7. All right. So if you look at that, Southern Cal's last drive with the score tied, they got the ball with just a little under 2 minutes, 8 plays, 75 yards, 1:39 off the clock, left 8 seconds on the clock, and scored the winning touchdown. Dave McGinnis will tell you this. When you have a team that scores to win a ball game late in the fourth quarter, it is very difficult to measure how much that does for your team. What does it tell you? It tells you we can beat a really good football team at a neutral site but is on the road in the fourth quarter. They actually scored 2 touchdowns in the last 5 minutes, and that was what was impressive to me. Now, I will say this. Both teams are going to get better. These are two really – potentially good football teams. But Southern Cal in particular really showed me something that I have not seen out of Southern Cal since Coach Riley's been there.
Florida's schedule, well chronicled. Some of the off-season questions, well chronicled. But Doug, for the Gators to get boat raced at home by Miami like that, ouch.
Well, it was even worse than the score. Florida, you know, only had one, they had one 71-yard run for a touchdown, all right? So they didn't take the ball and drive it at any time. They were down 38-10 after three quarters. Game was over, actually, before halftime. And Miami's drives for touchdowns, and this defensively was what Florida has hoped, and maybe they'll get there, but they didn't show up that first ball game. Defensively was what their downfall was last year. Listen to this. Miami had drives of 11 plays for 84 yards for a touchdown, 8 plays, 75 yards, touchdown, 6 plays, 75 yards, touchdown, 9 plays, 86 yards for a touchdown. So three-quarters of the field, they moved the ball 75 yards at the minimum for their 28 of their points, and there were a bunch of third-down pickups in there. What does that say about Miami? I was very impressed with their quarterback, but it tells me more about Florida's defense. If you can't get off the football field that many times, you got some problems. And as Mac and I have talked about so many times from a defensive standpoint, it is difficult to get better tackling during the season on defense because, as Mac just was explaining a while ago, you can't spend a lot of time tackling because you can't get players hurt. But that was the most disappointing thing to me out of Florida.
It has been damaging to cycle through coaches every 3 years at Florida. They've been on that cycle for 15 years. They're on their fourth coach since Urban Meyer left in 2010. Muschamp, Jim McElwain, Dan Mullen, none made it past their fourth season. And Scott Strickland, the AD now, he's had two chances to right that ship. He has not got that done yet. And a coach who has this much chatter early in the season has a hard time convincing people of patience.
And, Doug, it seems to be getting to the coach. His comments about the basement have certainly had a life of their own all week long.
You know, Billy Napier's a smart guy. But to make a comment like that, no matter how you say it, you know, it demeans your whole fan base. And that's the last thing he needs to be doing down there. Hey, that guy in that basement or that lady in that basement, whoever it was, she wasn't out there calling the defenses. So that's something I'm sure he's going to be regretting somewhere down the road. There's never reason to demean your fan base. I mean, that's what makes the Floridas and the Tennessees and the Alabamas, their fans are what makes college football great at their university. And that's very disappointing, quite frankly.
And how about the Clemson fans? They are in a bad mood this week. Clemson refusing, as we well know, it's been chronicled, to use the tools of modern college football. Dave, there are many people who don't like this new college football world that really feels all about money, to be honest. But how long can Dabo Swinney, how long can Clemson leadership allow this to continue?
They can't survive doing this, and this is the way of the world right now. It's not going back. Programs will use it against him, and the player grapevine is more connected than it ever has been. If he continues to fall out of the elite perception, it's a problem.
They're somewhere in the middle of the pack in the ACC. They used to be the lead dog by far in that league right now, and they are not. And this was not a very good performance. Now, Georgia is really good, but Clemson only 1 of 9 in this ball game. And considering the fact they only had 2 penalties, I mean, they got thumped by playing pretty consistent football. But if you're going to be 1 of 9, you're not going to win hardly any ball games.
Hey, shout out to Vanderbilt. Upset win over Virginia Tech. You know, it's interesting, guys. A couple of weeks ago, you started hearing chatter about Virginia Tech's going to be a surprise team in the ACC, a team that could compete. And I remember saying to myself, where did this come from? Where did Virginia Tech suddenly come into the conversation? Well, it certainly didn't prove itself in Nashville last week.
Well, this was a huge win, and I mean a huge win for Vanderbilt. Not only that they got the win, but the way they won it. How many times have we seen they had a chance to kick a short field goal, 20-some-yard field goal, to win in regulation and missed it and still came back and won in overtime. It was a big, big win in this program's history. It was a big win certainly for Clark Lea. Most people, and I would be one of them, thought that, you know, this – I didn't know if they were going to win a game this year other than maybe some of the blowout. But Tech was thought to be a good team. They were a good team. And Vanderbilt played exceptionally well in this ball game. It was, again, I know I'm repeating myself, but that's a huge win for this Vanderbilt program.
Just emphasizes the point that Coach Doug Matthews just made about a transfer quarterback, all the difference in the world. And they've got a lot of portal players on that Vanderbilt team now. Big props to them for that opener.
Play calls. Official calls. Wrong calls. We break it all down. Driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. This is Coach to Coach.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
When it's time for the big game, big fans need big TVs. And at Double Dogs, you can even satisfy big appetites. With choices like black Angus burgers, wings tossed in homemade sauces, and dog bowl nachos, well, Double Dogs will make sure you get the fuel you need for lunch, dinner, or even a post-game snack. So whether you have two legs or four, you can cheer on and chow down at Double Dogs. Visit DoubleDogs.biz to view the menu and order online. Double Dogs, sit, stay, eat.
Whether you're a big-time college coach or run a business, success demands five-star talent. The same is true for your heavy lifting equipment. Hi, I'm Dwayne Hardy from Forklift Systems. Our team will perform a free productivity, safety, and cost analysis of your fleet. We'll identify your MVPs and let you know which equipment to trade or cut. Remember, if you're not improving, your competition is. Win championships with your customers. Visit ForkliftSystems.com today.
Pay to the order of hope, promise, tomorrow. For years, the Tennessee Lottery has written some pretty big checks, but it turns out that our biggest winner continues to be education. In fact, we've raised more than $7.5 billion and provided more than 2 million scholarships and grants for Tennessee students. Learn more about how lottery dollars are making a difference at tnlottery.com. It's game-changing, life-changing fun.
Let's start our breakdown of the lessons on Coach to Coach with a quick reminder of why we do lessons on this show.
Well, the thing to remember is there's good lessons and there's bad lessons. And when you do lessons, you talk about both. This isn't just talking about sitting down and breaking down, doing your lessons after a ball game. This was something that I first learned back with John Majors at Tennessee many, many years ago. You sat down after a game. What did we do well? What did we not do well? What do we need to change? And not only for the next game or the games after that, many times it's for that opponent that you played that you may play him the next year. So what we do on this show, led by Larry Stone, is we talk about the good lessons and the bad lessons. What did we learn and how can it benefit us, win or lose this ball game? How can it benefit us going forward?
Let's take some lessons from the Tennessee quarterback, Nico Iamaliava. Man. Did he look sharp in the opener?
The tempo was fast, but it wasn't frantic. There's a difference. There's a difference in fast tempo. It wasn't segmented. It wasn't frantic. It had precision to it. They stayed ahead of the chains because this is a chain progression offense. You know, people get it all twisted sometimes about what this offense is. They're going to run the ball and they're going to progress the chain. And then if you start playing them wrong in the back end, they're going to burn you with the explosives. But they hit explosives. They use the entire field. I was very, very impressed.
Well, number eight looked every bit the player that we expected. I had watched two practices and a scrimmage, and he was poised, he was where he was talented, And most impressive to me, those are intangibles. His deep throws were spot on. I think he had one throw that maybe was just a little bit long, but the wide receiver kind of slowed down a little bit or lost his balance. But deep throws, throwing the ball down the field, and man, with this offense that Coach Heupel puts out on that field, spreading you out, hitting those short throws, if you have a quarterback that can accurately throw those deep passes, that gives defensive coordinators nightmares, believe me.
Timing and accuracy. The accuracy really stood out to me. Inside breaking routes were catch and run throws. Huge for this offense. They put right where the receiver didn't have to break stride. Deep balls were on target, as Coach Matthews has just said. Very few segmented or hitched throws. In other words, there were very few throws that he had to double hitch on, and he wasn't off target on very many. All levels were on time.
Dave, as a coach, I would imagine you want to have things to work on after every game, including a game like this. Would the end of the half 2-minute drill be one of those things that the coaches are kind of happy that it happened?
Yeah, perfect example of it. That was not smooth, and that was not executed very well at all. Coaching point stood out about managing the moment, executing a 2-minute drive. Coach Heupel, he will use this example at the urgency needed at that juncture of the ball game. Perfect example of what lessons will do once you start going over a game film. The 2-minute at the end of the first half was not good. They'll get that better.
Well, I thought McCoy looked exceptionally well. Listen, there is no question in that, well, on offense too, also, but certainly in that wide receiver room, he is the lead dog. And they wanted to get him the ball often and early. They did. His injury last year really hurt offensively what they could do. But, boy, did he produce. If this young man stays healthy, he is a physical player, tremendous blocker, combat catcher, as Coach Mack likes to call him. But most importantly, he is leading this group of transfer portal and young wide receivers in the way that you just have to kind of admire. They're going to get him the ball. They're going to get it to him early. They're going to make defenses cover him. And then they'll get on with the rest of their game plan.
Dante Thornton, 3 for 105, 35-yard average. Long of 59, 2 touchdowns. That's production with the limited looks. Huge production. 6'5", 214, the senior. This guy's big with speed. We know he's an Oregon transfer. Last year he had 13 catches for 224, 17-2, 1 touchdown. But he missed the final 3 games of the season after sustaining a lower body injury versus Missouri. This guy's a player.
Well, what they're going to be able to do with Thornton also, last year because of the slot position, they had to play him some in there. He's an outside receiver, an on-the-line X receiver. Stretched the field, as Mac mentioned, got length. He can run, but really all he needs to grow is just to continue to getting snaps and playing time. He missed, as Mac mentioned, a good part of last year, but boy, he again has a lot of the physical qualities that you need.
No, Brazel, you know, the new guy they brought in from Tulane, again, fits exactly the mold of what they want. They got length. He's 6'5", 200. I mean, he had 5 for 59, long of 23. He's got length. He's got speed. And to me, this guy is a huge, huge addition. He is only going to get better, too. I mean, to me, this is a very talented player. He's got one teaching moment on tape. He needed a toe tap at the back line, the one throw. He's got to trust his quarterbacks, whichever one is in there. They're going to put it. He'd need a little more spatial awareness. That's another great teaching moment because he had a chance to drag that left foot to toe tap that. That would have been another touchdown. I really like this player.
When you got McCoy on one side, you got Brazel and or Thornton at the wide receiver on the other, and then all those guys are 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", with length and can run. You got Squirrel White in that slot who you get him the ball, and he's very elusive. But then you add this young man, Eric Davis, who is a redshirt freshman. They had 4 targets on him, 1 touchdown, a talented tight end, Y or either an H, whichever you want, that can get down the middle of the field. And then, Mac, add to that, you got a back out of the backfield in Sampson, who, again, is a make-you-miss guy. You take those 5 guys and then add the fact that you got Nico's legs that can pull the ball down and run. Again, you kind of have to pick your poison on defense. Are we going to play zone, which we probably need to play, probably can't play against these guys, or are we going to go man coverage on them? And if everybody's covered, the quarterback's able to pull the ball down and run. It's going to be interesting to see what this offense does. But, boy, it has a tremendous amount of potential.
Retooled offensive line going into this season. What'd you see in their performance?
Yeah, the first unit I thought did a nice job fitting up on run plays. They moved the line of scrimmage. I mean, they overmatched that opponent up front, and then he started playing a lot of people. He started playing a lot of people there. But let's go over the starters the way they started. Lance Hurd at left tackle, left guard, Andre Carrick. Cooper Mays is the linchpin of this offensive line. He controls that center guard triangle. I mean, he is the dog in there. Javonte Spraggins at right guard, and then John Campbell Jr. at right tackle. This football team offensively, I keep saying this, and I'm going to keep saying it because it's not just about spinning the ball down the field. They want to run it. They want to run it, and they're going to use a lot of schemes. There's pin and pull schemes that we're going to see. They're going to come out even more, which I mean being able to block down, pull either a tackle or a guard around. But in this ball game, whoever was playing on the offensive line, they moved the pile of anybody that was in front of them.
Now, those five offensive linemen that Mac mentioned that were starters, three of them are transfer portal players. So it shows you the importance of transfer portal. The other two, though, Mays and Spraggins, very physical. They line up right guard for Spraggins and Mays, of course, at center. Strong running behind them. It was a unit that did stand out. We're talking about, again, about playing Chattanooga. But you don't look at who you play. You look at how your players performed. And with the technique that they had, Mac Mission, they got a lot of the younger, those soakers in there that are going to have to play this year. But that up front group really, I thought, performed well, led by primarily Mays and Spraggins.
Now, the running game was strong. Dylan Sampson, I think he's got more speed than people even realize. But this dude's a ball player. He can find a crease. He can jump cut. Cameron Seldon. And then Deshaun Bishop. That guy's got some get up to him, too. I thought the run game was very strong. And it's going to have to be as you progress during this season, because the run game is a huge catalyst for this offense.
That's
because the run game dictates the box count. Dictates the box count for this throwing game.
Now, very young group. As we mentioned, Sampson's is a third year youngster, but he's never really started. He played a lot, but behind him really are either second year or first year players. Cam Seldon, injured last year, looked really, really good. Bishop showed those abilities. They got a young freshman there, Lewis. They got Keith, who's more of a power runner. I'm sure they're going to limit this down going forward to maybe playing three guys in the ball game, but There's no question at all. It all goes around Sampson. You know, Mac, I was thinking watching as we were preparing this, how many running backs do you know that are also the lead punt returner? Not many. That shows you the skill level that this young man has.
Doug, how valuable were the snaps in the second half for your backups? Maybe let's start with the backup quarterback.
Well, no amount of practice can simulate game experience for anybody, whether you're first day out there, you've been out there for 6 years like some of these guys have. You add in that the crowd, which even though it was a home crowd, there's a lot of noise in there. There was a lot of activity. There was a lot of pressure for these young guys. And then the opponent factored that in, the speed of the game. Immeasurable how much improvement you can make on this. And the biggest help that this new rule that came in last year where you could play in four games and still redshirt was for freshmen. Tennessee played 94 players in this ball game. Now, several of them only got in for two or three snaps, but they got in some snaps. In olden days, they had probably played about 50 because they wanted to redshirt some of these guys. That's a great rule that is really going to enhance some of these young people, these soakers down there, getting better. Backup quarterback, clearly right now, is going to be Gaston Moore. Again, fifth-year kid, was with Coach Heupel at UCF, been in this offense now for 5 years, probably knows it as well as Joey Halsey does, the offensive coordinator. But then also this Jake Merklinger came in. I thought he looked really good. He's going to be the guy they're going to want to get some experience. because Gaston Moore, he's there, and he knows it. He's the backup in case something happens, but he's the fifth-year kid. He's not going to be around next year. They need to get this Merklinger youngster some work, and I think they probably will going forward.
Live game tape and at game speed versus an opponent is invaluable on reinforcing two things, technique and situations that you've been teaching. Practice film is one thing, but game tape is an entirely different focus and a teaching tool for two things, retention and examples of what you are talking about. Nothing is like live game tape for all of those things I've just mentioned.
Great thing about the technology we have now is these players, they don't have to wait to get in the old, quote, film room, which is now actually a tape room. They get this game on their computer, and they can look and watch themselves. And many times the defensive, whoever position or offensive, whatever position, their coach has already made some notes in there. But more importantly, they can watch themselves. They can see if they're stepping the right way or have a good pursuit angle or leverage or all those things. That's why, and you can only get that playing in a ball game. And it's even if you're only playing a series or two, it's huge in the development of young players.
Driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. Coach to Coach continues inside the coach's meeting room for real analysis.
Pay the order of hope. Promise. Tomorrow. For years, the Tennessee Lottery has written some pretty big checks, but it turns out that our biggest winner continues to be education. In fact, we've raised more than $7.5 billion and provided more than 2 million scholarships and grants for Tennessee students. Learn more about how lottery dollars are making a difference at tnlottery.com. It's game-changing, life-changing fun.
You know, starting to save for your future doesn't have to be difficult. Let Wilson Bank and Trust help tone up your financial goals this year. Our certificates of deposits or CDs can help your money work harder with our competitive rates, earning you more than ever before. WBT checking options allow you to earn rewards you can really use, like a high interest rate or cash back on check card purchases when you meet some e-banking qualifications. Visit your closest Wilson Bank and Trust office or online at wilsonbank.com to get started today. Member FDIC.
At Great Clips, they know you got a lot going on, just like I have. That's why they save my haircut details and clip notes, so I can get the same haircut as the last time whenever I want. No stress, no worries, no questions asked. And with 60 salons in the Middle Tennessee area, it's easy to find a Great Clips location near you. I've been a client of Great Clips for over 10 years, and if you're looking for a great cut, simply download their online check-in app today. Great Clips. It's going to be great.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
South Carolina and Kentucky play the first conference game of this young season Saturday. Coach to Coach continues. Shane Beamer calling his team's win in week one unacceptable. Early game Saturday, Arkansas is at Oklahoma State. First meeting between these two since 1980. Texas visits Michigan. Can the Longhorns run it? That is one of the keys to Quinn Ewers' success against a very talented Michigan front. A&M battles McNeese State. Georgia is at home to Tennessee Tech. We look at the lessons from the Chattanooga win, specifically for the Vols defense. A rebuilt secondary's first test. So do our former secondary coach. How'd they do?
Much more aggressive than they were last year. And they are because they're more athletic. Every starter this past week was a transfer portal player, all right, except one. And he is a fifth-year senior. So they brought guys in, and they're playing early, and they have the ability, this group has the ability, particularly out at cornerback, to play man coverage. That has been something that that Coach Tim Banks has been unable to play a lot of against the good teams. They have to play a lot of zone. And against good passing teams, if you don't get pass rush, And even if you do get some pass rush, they're going to eat you up. So from this one ball game, and again, we hopefully our listeners know we're talking about a game where the opponent was overmatched, but you can only go by what you saw. This one ball game, they were much more aggressive in their man defense, especially at the cornerback position where you need to be aggressive.
I'm looking forward to seeing this new secondary as a group in a more challenging environment to get a real evaluation. But just in a first glance against an overmatched opponent, which is fair, they got guys in there, especially at that corner position, intentionally to be able to play man-to-man. I thought that looked better.
If you go back and look at lessons from last year, the one thing with the cornerback position, the man coverage guys in particular, is seemingly every week, they don't look for the football. They got their back turned and they're running. They don't look for the ball, so they either get an interference penalty or they have a comeback route that gets them. That looked better, but that is an area where they really have to improve, because once you go out to Oklahoma and get in the SEC schedule, you're going to be playing wide receivers that are fast, tall, and can run. So you're going to have to be much more aggressive in that area. And that all gets down to technique. Most every defensive back in this conference is around 6 foot tall. The average wide receivers in this conference are closer to 6'3 or 6'4. So you're going to have a height at least, and sometimes a weight and strength mismatch. Your technique better be almost perfect if you're going to play in this league.
Yeah, well, this secondary has not been a turnover machine. The aggression that Coach talks about, that's what it comes in. And it's positioning, in-phase positioning, and it's triggering on the ball. Locate and attack the ball in man. That is that, and that only comes with your technique has to be solid to the break. But the mindset to go take it away, that has to be there.
And I think this week against North Carolina State, it's a step up in competition. North Carolina State is a good football team, maybe a very good football team. We're going to see this secondary. Are they better at breaking on the ball, getting their hands on footballs? UT Chattanooga did a good job of getting that ball out quick. They really didn't have an opportunity to break on many passes, quite frankly. But that's something Mac just mentioned. If you're gonna get turnovers, you got to get your hands on footballs, and especially breaking on the ball in against the passing offenses that you're going to be playing.
Yeah, Chattanooga seemed intent in this ball game, guys, to get rid of the football quick, and so it kind of seemed like the Vols' defensive front was quiet.
I think people are going to start doing that with this defensive front. I mean, if I was calling offensive plays, I would. But first of all, the Vols played a lot of players on this defensive front. They got to look at young players. Now, it's a deep group. If people are forced to hold the ball, they're going to get to the quarterback. If not, then we always used to tell our guys up front, if you're not going to get to the quarterback, become a pass defender and start matching hands. But people are going to start getting the ball out quick, because this is a deep unit when you really start digging into it. I expect more people to start doing that.
James Pierce Jr., who is a first-team All-American preseason and one of the best players in the country, and Amari Thomas, who is an excellent defensive tackle, they did not have a single tackle among them. Amari Thomas had one pass knockdown. So what does that tell you? They played poorly? No, they didn't play poorly. What Chattanooga did was they got rid of the ball quick, and on their running game, they pretty much ran it inside, just trying to run some time off the clock. Now, getting that ball out early, that sounds like a good idea. But what Tennessee will do, and good defenses will do, if they know you're getting that ball out quickly, they do two things. Number one, they tighten up their coverage. And number two, those defensive linemen, knowing that they're not going to get there, they're going to come under control and get those hands up and start knocking down passes. Tennessee did not do that, I think probably by design. But again, if you're going to get the ball out of there quick, that means you're going to be throwing three-step drops. You're going to be throwing a maximum of about 5 yards. Defenses in this secondary will start adjusting to that, make you hold the ball, and then you get right to what Max said. Once you start holding the ball, that's when this good pass rush is going to get to you.
Yeah, well, affecting the cylinder, it's about pressures, first of all, not sacks, because you're pressures disrupting timing, both up front and in coverage. just what Coach Matthews just talked about, is key to disrupting the rhythm of a throwing game. Both of these elements cause negative plays versus the ball. And if it's coming out quick, every defensive line coach in the country has an individual drill where they match hands on the quarterback. Teach them how to match hands with the rush lanes that they're going in. So when you're looking at your defensive front, it's not just measured with sacks. It's measured with pressures and how much you're disrupting the timing of a throwing game. And that ties the front to the back.
Now, the strength of this defense, I think the strength of this whole team, quite frankly, if you just look at one position group, it's certainly the defensive line. Tennessee has three edge rushers led by James Pierce Jr., who, again, is a great player. They're three deep at the other three defensive line positions at least. So that's nine players there. And they're led by five seniors, Thomas, Eason, Norman Lott, Bailey, and Simmons. They're all fifth-year players who know how to play, been coached by Rodney Garner, excellent technicians. They can sustain a few injuries. And one thing that Coach Garner has shown over the years, he's going to play a bunch of players. It pays off, and I think it'll pay off this year. Quality players, good senior leadership, and some young guys that are anxious to get out there and kind of start making their spurs.
Thought the linebackers were triggering good against the run. They had good K&D, which is key and diagnose. They were instant. They tackled well. Not much hezzy in their movements. And I always look when I watch linebackers play to see how much hezzy or hesitation, false steps they're taking. I didn't see that in this ball game. They're playing with a front now they can take advantage of. And so instant triggering and instant recognition is going to be key for this second level of the defense.
When you are a defensive coach and you're evaluating a tape like this of an unmatched, overmatched opponent, Dave, what are you looking for?
Technique, first of all. What am I teaching technique-wise, and how are they applying that to every instance that comes? Techniques and execution and consistency. I don't want a guy that's showing me technique that he's worked on and that we've talked about going into a ball game. I don't want him to show it to me one or two plays and then all of a sudden start playing rat ball the next three or four and then go back to technique. I need consistency down in and down out. Also, the concentration in your fundamentals, because the fundamentals, essentially, through all levels of football, are what take you through the hardest points of a ball game. If you can forfeit to your fundamentals, you're constantly going to be in good shape. And then your fundamentals have to start getting even better when you're on the side of, if your team is separating the score on people, that's when you've got to even concentrate more on your fundamentals so that you don't get lax in what goes on. That is what's important.
Amazing moments, special players, stories you may not know. Doug Matthews, Checkerboard Chronicle.
We're going to do some stories about Tennessee football, and one of the very, very best, and I happen to have a part in this, was a walk-on in the 1985 season and the 1986 Sugar Bowl. Jeff Powell walked into my office before the season started, did not know who he was, said, Coach Major sent me down there, said I'd come out for the team this year. I said, well, tell me a little bit about yourself. Senior, transferred in to run track. Hadn't played football since high school. Do you mind if I come out? Well, Jeff, if the head coach says you're coming out, it don't matter if I mind or not. But I want you to know something. You're probably not going to get many opportunities to play. You'll work, probably won't get a whole lot of opportunity to practice. All he wanted was an opportunity to get on film a little bit so the pros could see him because he was fast. Fast forward to the next last game out of the year. Hadn't played hardly a snap at all. A couple of tailbacks got hurt. He come in, had a pretty good game against Kentucky, had a pretty good game against Vanderbilt, and then in the biggest game of the year against Miami, the Sugar Vols team, 1986, 125 yards, one of the best running touchdowns I've ever seen against a top-notch opponent in a big Tennessee win. When I tell folks about that are thinking about walking on but saying, I don't know if I can do it or not, I always repeat the Jeff Powell story of the 1985 season.
This is Coast to Coach with former University of Tennessee defensive coordinator Doug Matthews and former NFL defensive coordinator and head coach Dave McGinnis. Driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. In Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Hardy of Forklift Systems. Whether you're a big-time college coach or run a business, To be successful, you need five-star talent. It's also true for your heavy lifting equipment. Forklift Systems will perform a free productivity, safety, and cost analysis of your fleet. We'll identify your MVPs and what you need to trade or cut. If you're not constantly improving, your competition is. Win championships with your customers. Visit ForkliftSystems.com today.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
There are a lot of physical therapists in Tennessee, and you don't want to go to a therapist. You want to choose the therapist that is right for you. This is Charles Davis. I had injuries in my playing days and valued the importance of a quality rehab program. I know and trust these folks, which is why I would choose Star when in Tennessee, and you should too. Their clinicians have world-class advanced training to make them great mechanics of the human body and to get you better fast. Find a Star location near you at starpt.com.
At Great Clips, they know you got a lot going on, just like I have. That's why they save my haircut details and clip notes, so I can get the same haircut as the last time whenever I want. No stress, no worries, no questions asked. And with 60 salons in the Middle Tennessee area, it's easy to find a Great Clips location near you. I've been a client of Great Clips for over 10 years, and if you're looking for a great cut, simply download their online check-in app today. Great Clips, it's going to be great.
SEC lineup Saturday includes Auburn hosting Cal, running back Jaden Ott trying to rally from an ankle injury in week one. MTSU visits Ole Miss. Missouri hosts Buffalo. The Tigers defense held Murray State under 100 yards total offense in week one. Florida tries to rebound against Samford. Coach to Coach continues as we preview Tennessee's opponent in Charlotte, the NC State Wolfpack. Of head coach Dave Doran, 8-plus wins in 6 of the last 7 seasons in Raleigh.
It's been player development. They've developed some really good players there. And it goes to, when you dig deeper, they've got a superb strength and conditioning program under D'Antonio Thunder Burnett. They've got physical players there. They've put several players into the National Football League, James Smith Williams, Drake Thomas, Thayer Thomas, but these players get developed there. And sometimes if you're not getting the 5 and the 4 stars, you've got to develop players with and there's two things. They develop players and they've got a reputation as being a very physical football team on both sides of the ball.
Brought in a transfer quarterback from Coastal Carolina named Grayson McCall. First off, he's a big young man. 6'3", 220. What does that tell you? Well, when you get back there to sack him, you better sack him because he's not going to just got to fall down. He's big and he's strong. 40 starts at Coastal Carolina. 88 passing touchdowns, only 14 interceptions, 18 rushing touchdowns. Now, he is not a runner who's going to run a lot. He's more of a – he'll scramble, but they utilize him on quarterback sneaks. Well, he's 6'3", 220. And down on the goal line on some reads. But big thing out of him is he's started 40 games, 33 of those are wins. So what does that tell you? This young man knows how to win. And players, quarterbacks in particular, that know how to win always give defenses problems. He's not going to make many turnovers. He's not going to throw many interceptions. He's not going to make many bad plays. But you better get after him.
They've used the transfer portal to upgrade the skill players around McCall. Also, from OU, Hollywood Smothers, a running back. Justin Jolie, a tight end from Connecticut. Jordan Waters, a running back from Duke. Wesley Grimes, a wide receiver from Wake Forest. And then Noah Rogers, a wide receiver from Ohio State. So, they have surrounded this guy with some transfer portal players that are proven in collegiate football.
They played Western Carolina early last week. I forget if it was Thursday or Friday. I watched that ball game, and two guys that just stood out to me on the offensive side very quickly wrote their number down, found out who they were later. Listen, this Concepcion youngster, number 10, better know where he is. 5'11", 190, quick. He's a squirrel white type that's a little bit bigger. And then number 15, transfer player in from UConn. He's 6'3", 250. He plays that tight end position that moves around a lot. He is physical. And defensively, you better know where these two cats are, because they're going to try to get the ball to Concepcion as much as they can, and Jolly, if not him. Concepcion, by the way, also their punt returner, had a big punt return this ball game. Again, defensively, know where 10 is, know where 15 is.
Now, the offensive line is a pretty solid group. The left tackle, 74, a guy named Anthony Belton. He's a grad transfer, 6'6", 356. Got some size. Left guard, 75, Anthony Carter. He's a junior. He's a graduate player, 6'3", 305. Their center, Zeke Correll, is a graduate transfer from Notre Dame, 6'3", 307. Does a nice job anchoring that center guard triangle. The right guard, number 52, is Timothy McKay, is a graduate player, 6'4", 312. Then the right tackle, 65, Jacarius Peak. He's a redshirt sophomore, 6'4", 285, but a really good foot athlete.
On defense, the Wolfpack, they've been ball hawks for a long time now, 17 picks a year ago. A long-time consistency over Dave Doran in that department.
Tony Gibson's their defensive coordinator. He's by trade a secondary coach and a linebacker coach. He's been at West Virginia. He's been at Pitt. He's been at Arizona. In 2019, he coached the corners and the safeties here with Dave Doran. 20 and 23, coached the secondary and the linebackers. He's a coordinator. They run a 3-3-5 defense, but Tony Gibson is a very, very solid defensive coordinator in collegiate football. Has been very, very successful, and his guys play really, really fast. They're impressive defensively. Don't make a lot of mistakes.
Secondary unquestionably led by an all ACC 2 years ago, first team last year, second team. Aiden White, 6 foot, right around 190, a top cover corner, really good in man coverage, physical player. Third year starting, so he's had a lot of snaps. Listen, the ACC throws the ball around well, so he certainly will be seeing that. He is going to be giving up 4 or 5 inches, though, to the guys that he's going to be covering. But without question, he's the leader in that secondary.
Their linebackers. Let's go over those linebackers in this look. Their weak side will linebacker, which is to the open side or away from the tight end of an offensive set, is number 0, Sean Brown, 6'2", 216. He's a junior, but he moved from free safety. He was a free safety last year. They moved him down to will linebacker. He's a good space player. The middle linebacker is number 10, Caden Fordham. He's a redshirt junior, 6'2", 228. Now listen to these sizes I'm giving you. So these are space players. He was a backup middle linebacker last year. Now he's the starter. Their Sam linebacker that goes to the tight end side of the formation is number 8, Defon Betty. He started at middle linebacker last year. They moved him to the strong side, 6'2", 227. So what I'm telling you with these guys is they're foot athletes, because they're 6'2", 216, 6'2", 228, 6'2", 227. They can play in space.
If there's a term that you heard over and over in Doug and Dave's analysis of this NC State team, transfer portal, transfer portal. It looks like the Wolfpack really have gone all in to try to win this year and try to get a title back to Raleigh. Last time they won the ACC, Dave, 1979.
This is a huge bounce back game for Dave Doran and this team, because they did not boat race a lesser opponent in their game, in their early game against Western Carolina. So they're going to look to bounce back. And even though they won, this is going to be a huge test now. The Vols are going into a team that wants to get back on their even footing. So it's going to be a test.
Well, Charlotte is a big recruiting area for Tennessee. It's only 3 hours from Knoxville. And there are a lot of Tennessee fans in that Western Carolina area. Tennessee has been fortunate. They've had some great players out of there.
In their dozens of years of coaching, they've made them. Some went wrong. Some were winners. Game Time Decisions. Coach to coach.
Without going any further, Tom Osborne won 3 national championships in Nebraska, so this is certainly not a reflection. But this was a decision that went wrong. Let me give you the setting. Nebraska's ranked number 1. They're playing number 5, the University of Miami, in the 1984 Orange Bowl. Remember, back at that time, there were no playoffs. You had your bowl matchups. With under a minute remaining, The Cornhuskers scored, came within one. They were trailing by one. Coach Osborne had the decision made. Do I kick for a tie? Again, did not have overtime back at that time. It would end in a tie. Or do I go for the win? He felt like and said afterwards, hey, I didn't want to kiss my sister. That used to be what they would say. A tie was like kissing your sister. Deciding to go for two and the win with a two-point play that failed, Miami ended up winning the game. A tie likely would have kept Nebraska at number one. A loss? Well, it did not.
Timeout called. Back to the analysis next. Coach to coach. Driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a ride share. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
When it's time for the big game, big fans need big TVs. And at Double Dogs, you can even satisfy big appetites. With choices like Black Angus Burgers, wings tossed in homemade sauces, and dog bowl nachos, well, Double Dogs will make sure you get the fuel you need for lunch, dinner, or even a post-game snack. So whether you have two legs or four, you can cheer on and chow down at Double Dogs. Visit DoubleDogs.biz to view the menu and order online. Double Dogs, sit, stay, eat.
Pay to the order of hope, promise, tomorrow. For years, the Tennessee Lottery has written some pretty big checks, but it turns out that our biggest winner continues to be education. In fact, we've raised more than $7.5 billion and provided more than 2 million scholarships and grants for Tennessee students. Learn more about how lottery dollars are making a difference at tnlottery.com. It's game-changing, life-changing fun.
You know, starting to save for your future doesn't have to be difficult. Let Wilson Bank and Trust help tone up your financial goals this year. Our certificates of deposits or CDs can help your money work harder with our competitive rates, earning you more than ever before. WBT checking options allow you to earn rewards you can really use, like a high interest rate or cash back on check card purchases when you meet some e-banking qualifications. Visit your closest Wilson Bank and Trust office or online at wilsonbank.com to get started today. Member FDIC.
Saturday night in the SEC features South Florida's trip to Alabama. Houston is at Oklahoma. Willie Fritz in his first year leading the Cougars, who are rebuilding. Vanderbilt hosts Alcorn State. LSU battles Nicholls State. Mississippi State is at Arizona State. Both of these coaches calling this game a measuring stick. Both projected to win 3 to 4 games in 2024.
The winning numbers, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $7.5 billion for education in Tennessee.
The number is 15. Grayson McCall, just 15 interceptions in his 6 college football seasons. He's not going to make a lot of mistakes.
So now you've got to play consistently on defense. If you got a guy that is very, very safe with the football, you've got to play consistent on defense. And here's what you got to be able to do. You got to be able to be persistent, but you've also got to be patient. Don't panic.
The number is 6.1. That's the Vols' rushing average per carry in the team's wins a year ago. 6.6 yards per game against Chattanooga last week.
This defensive coordinator is going to have to decide, am I going to pressure? Am I going to play man? Am I going to play zone? Am I going to stop the run? Or am I going to take away the deep? What am I going to take away? You can't take away everything.
Coach to coach, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. In Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Coach to coach.